This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman.
Good evening, and welcome to the BrizNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman, along with James Scully, for your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in, talk about whatever you'd like in the world of horse racing. The number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. James, first of all, glad to be back. Hope you had a good weekend last weekend, my friend.
Yeah, had a good one, and it's good to have you back on, Bobby. But Dave did a great job last week, and excited to talk about some horse racing. We got a big day ahead with the Pegasus World Cup Day, and Oaklawn Park has a much-anticipated three-year-old stakes, so glad to talk about that. The Clips Awards tonight, or anything else our listeners want to, give us a call.
Once again, the number to get in, 888-966-4776. Also, this is the final night for the BrizNet.com call-in show that we are offering free 2023 racing calendars to anyone who calls in and asks a question. And that doesn't mean that you don't get a calendar if you've already called earlier this month. Maybe you want a calendar for a friend or for a relative, or, you know, you already have one and you want another one to give away to somebody. Call in, give your name and address to our producer, Lee Della Pina. Anyone who calls in, you're going to get a great racing calendar for 2023, courtesy of our friends at Twin Spires and BrizNet. Once again, 888-966-HRRN is the number to get in. All right, so we've got big races coming up this weekend, and we obviously want to talk about that, James. At the start of the show, though, let's quickly recap what we saw with the LeCompte last Saturday. The Grade 3 LeCompte was the big three-year-old race around the country. 20 points were available to the winner, assuming that the winning horse was eligible to earn points, and Bob Baffert didn't have any horses in the LeCompte. Instant Coffee was coming off a far back to first win in the Kentucky Jockey Club in his previous start. He was sent off the 6-5 favorite to repeat that effort in the LeCompte, and you know what? He looked just as good this past Saturday.
Yeah, he did. He looked better, actually. You know, the Kentucky Jockey Club was a little bit of a ugly race in the fact that it had a real slow pace, and he didn't appear like to be like in the surface, like while he was trailing early in that race, and he actually came up under a little bit of a ride from Luis Saez. He responded when asked on the far turn there at Churchill Downs, but I thought the whole field bunched up in upper stretch, Bobby, and it was hard to take away too much from him grinding out a narrow win in a slow time, even though, you know, he, like I said, you know, there's extenuating circumstances. But I thought the LeCompte was a much better performance. They had pretty quick internal fractions, and instead of being like, you know, 15 or 20 lengths back, he was like within, like, yeah, I think he was about 8 lengths behind, and he went last to first, but it was only a 6-horse field. So I thought he was like, he looks like he's matured over the last couple months and took a step forward in the comp. Instant Coffee did.
Sounds like he's going to be heading toward the Louisiana Derby at some point for his road to hopefully a run in the Kentucky Derby. With that win this past weekend, he now has 32 Kentucky Derby qualifying points, sitting second only to the presumed 2-year-old champ from last year, Forte, who's got 40 points. So Instant Coffee in good shape right now. He may not even need any more points to qualify for the Derby, but it certainly doesn't look like he has to win races going forward. Not that they're not going to try to win, but they've got enough points now that they can kind of pick and choose and find the best spots for Instant Coffee. Let's go out to the phones. Mike in Massachusetts, you've got Bobby and James on the BrizNet.com call-in show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. James, back in 2016, I heard you on At the Races with Steve Bick, and you gave out Creator as your choice to win the Belmont Stakes. I happened to be with two non-horse racing friends later that night. It was a Friday night. My friends asked me what I was doing on Saturday. I told them I was going to be betting the Belmont, betting on a horse called Creator. He was going to win. They both gave me $100 on the spot and asked me to bet him to win. I also bet 100 on him. And guess what? His odds drifted from 10 to 1 to 16-1 right before post time. We all cashed a nice ticket as a result, $1,600 each. So James and both those guys are now horse racing fans, by the way. Someday I'd like to thank you in person, James, but just want to please accept my thanks here 6 years later.
Oh, thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate it. Glad you guys, hit on that on Creator. And that was Irad Ortiz Jr.'s first Breeders' Cup, first Belmont Stakes win, first Triple Crown win. He won his second Belmont this year on Mo Donegal, or last summer on Mo Donegal. But I remember Creator. The real reason I liked him, you know, he'd won the Arkansas Derby, Mike, and I thought, you know, that wasn't the strongest prep, and he was still a little bit, had just broken his maiden, so he still had a lot of ground to make up in a sense. And while he ran up the track in the Derby, I thought he trained well, and he got a real break when, and I forget the horse's name, but there was a speed ball that Pletcher had, and Windstar wanted to run him in the race. Pletcher didn't want to do it because he had Destin, who ran second, and it was a tough luck second for Destin in that Belmont. Got beat a nose because he was chasing that hot pace. So Asmussen took over the training of the stablemate. He got out there and dueled on the front end and set it up for Creator.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So thank you for that. My question to both you guys, I handicapped the races mostly just using the info I see in the daily racing form, but I struggle with maiden races. How do you, James and Bobby, handicap races where, you know, a horse has very few or in a lot of cases, no starts?
Go ahead, James, if you'd like. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, first off, if they have starts, I'm first off just looking at those races. I mean, once you get races under your belt, they're more important than pedigree or any of that stuff to me. If they're first time starters, I'm definitely looking, or horses maybe trying the turf for first time, I'm giving a look at the pedigree stats, trainer stats, and if they're first time starters, I'm gonna also look at the works. And it, you know, you can look for fast works or quick works, Bobby, but I think the pattern of the works is important too, with no big gaps in there. So definitely a different dimension of handicapping those maiden races, especially with a lot of young horses in it.
And you know what? And I probably should have asked Mike this a little bit more, but I'm guessing something that he struggles with is something we all struggle with in trying to figure out how much improvement you can maybe expect from these maidens from like start 1-2 or 2-3 or 3-4. Is there anything you specifically look for when trying to project, you know, if the horse is going to move forward or not in his or her next start?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously how they handle the break the first time out is important, but then, you know, even if they lose, I'm looking for encouraging signs, like they make a little bit of a middle move or they're finishing, you know, with good energy at the end. A lot of times you'll see horses, they don't get off to the best of starts. They make a run up there and then they get to the top of stretch and things have sort of gone against them in a sense. And they just tire and spit the bit a little bit and weaken, backwards. But they've turned in a good run and they really capitalize upon that experience at second asking and move forward off of that. So, you know, you're looking for any kind of signs of where they've overcome a little bit of adversity. That's always a benefit, even if a horse is coming off a loss in their first start.
Before we get out to the phones once again, one more question for you, James. Are there any trainers out there, top of your head, if I say, give me a trainer that you almost always expect his or her horses to improve from their first start to their second start? And on the other side, give me a trainer who you would very rarely expect their horses not to fire better first out than next out?
Well, the former, the first question, I think is much easier. Perhaps I'm wrong on this because I haven't seen the national stats, but Rusty Arnold at one point early last fall, Bobby, was winning at a 5% clip first time out and like 21% second out. So his horses rarely win at first asking. I think it's always a positive sign. And then they move forward in that second start. Trainers, you know, you're looking at horses like Wesley Ward. When they debut horses at short odds, you know, and they win, you know, that's it, no surprise. But if they don't run well at first, at short odds, first time out, you're typically going to take it, unless they have a real excuse, going to take a dubious view of those kind of horses in their second start.
All right, let's head back out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis, you've got Bobby and James on the BristNet.com call-in show. Hey, Tom, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy, how are you today?
I'm here. Good. How are you doing, pal?
Hey, doing well.
Want to piggyback on Mike's question. One thing I always look at in a career starting race, maybe not a maiden race where the horse might have had a rough trip and second, third, fourth out, but I always look for a horse that's had a 5-furlong work, especially if they're running 6 furlongs. I always like that. I don't know. An old race tracker taught me that 40 years ago, and for years that's always helped me with first outs. There'll usually be 2 or 3 horses in the race that have worked 5 furlongs if it's later in the year. And I've always thought that was an angle that helped me out tremendously in trying to predict how, you know, horses without a lot of data will do.
Let me ask you this, Tom. When it comes to this time of year, and especially looking at these three-year-olds, a lot of the three-year-olds, especially running down here at Gulfstream, will, if they're debuting, they're asked to debut going 7 furlongs or maybe even debut going long. What kind of view do you take on horses debuting at the either elongated sprints or going around 2 turns?
Bobby, it's a good question. I'm going to answer it this way. My father was a trainer for 35 years, never believed in running a horse at 2. Never didn't want him to buck shins, didn't want him, just thought they had a lot of growing to do. And how I would answer that question is I will always go back when I see that kind of a scenario, and I will see what the barn has done over the last year or two with debuts at 7 furlongs, especially 7 because it's such a tough distance, or with that pattern of trying to figure out what they're going to do when they go 2 turns. And are they doing this time of the year because they're going to stay in Florida, or, you know, we're still probably a month and a half away, or are they just trying to get a race into the horse before they bring the horse up north to a different racetrack? I would answer the question in that fashion, just between us.
Just between us and anyone else who's listening. All right, we really appreciate it, Tom. And I'm working on a trip to St. Louis this summer. Unfortunately, it won't be when my Dodgers are in town, but I'm going to make it out there sometime.
Well, you had a good run this year, though. You went 2 out of 3 when you were in town, didn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Dodgers are not there on days that I can go to St. Louis, so I'll be going to see the Cardinals play somebody, but it won't be my beloved boys in blue. But looking forward to getting out there. Good food in St. Louis, good golf courses, and I always make it out to the artist formerly known as Fairmount Park for at least a few races.
That sounds good. What I was going to say, and the reason I called, if I may, I know you're up against a tough break, 30 seconds. I know tonight's the Eclipse Awards. I just wish we could have an award or take 5 minutes of the show to maybe just talk about something good that maybe everybody doesn't know in this sport, because there's so many good stories out there. And I think on a stage like tonight, that would do wonders for this sport. That's all I'm going to say. I know all the guys are in, you know, Florida and all of these, there's a lot of smaller people making it do and having good stories all over the country. Some of them at Penn National tonight and other places where it's cold and it's Turfway. But, you know, us bettors out there, thank everybody for the sport, and especially thank you guys for what you do every week. Have a good evening.
We appreciate you, Tom. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's go back out to the phones. Vince in Buffalo, you're on the BristNet.com call-in show.
How you doing, fellas? I haven't called in about a month.
Hey, what are you up to, Vince?
Not much. I'd like to make a little comment about how bad the racing's been at Aqueduct. I mean, there's so many scratches. I mean, short fields. There's never been a winner like this, and the purses are way up. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. But what I really want to talk about is the Eclipse Awards tonight. And I'd want I just like to go over real quick all the categories. 2-year-old, who you like? I like Forte.
Well, I think that's a slam dunk. I can't imagine anyone could vote for anyone but Forte.
2-year-old girl, Wonder Wheel.
Same scenario.
3-year-old, Epicenter. And I don't want Taba to be second because he's not the second best 3-year-old. The second best 3-year-old was Mo Donegal, but he got hurt. He won the Bluegrass. I mean, he won the Wood Memorial and the Belmont. That's something that I mean, if they ever ran a mile and a quarter, he would kill Taba. They wouldn't even be close. Three-year-old girl, Nest. Older, of course, Flightline. Malathot. Okay, let's get to Sprinter. Who do you like in the sprint?
Elite Power.
Me too. Three-year-old girl sprinter. How about Goodnight Olive?
Yeah, I think she's going to be an overwhelming winner. I think if Jackie's Warrior had won the Forgo right on Traverse Day, it would be a closer race, even though he lost the Breeders' Cup sprint to Elite Power. But losing back-to-back races and Elite Power winning back-to-back is going to do it.
He said three big losses in his biggest races of the year. Turf Horse's Modern Games, Girls Turfer Warlike Goddess. Okay, let's get owner. Who do you like in the owner? I like Peter Brandt.
Well, he had a big year, that's for sure. I think it's between him and Godolphin. You know, Godolphin won four Breeders' Cup races.
Okay, two more categories. If I really don't win, it's fixed. He
had a record-setting year.
He had a record-setting year. He had the most wins. He had the most money, everything. Now, Apprentice. And I'm sure that Jose Gomez, who wasn't at New York today, is probably in Florida to collect his hardware. What do you think?
Well, who else is it? Is Jessica Pfeiffer the other one who would be?
No.
She won last year.
She won last year. That's right.
It's that Vicente del Cid. Yeah.
And Barbosa or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the first few times when I was dialing your number, I was getting. Somehow lines got crossed. I didn't change dialing the number. I just did it again, and I was getting some. This number cannot be completed. It was fives are in it, and it was really odd. I don't know.
You know what that was? That was Anthony Stabile left over. Told us not to take calls from you.
Well, I'm glad you disobeyed him.
No, we love you, Vince, and happy you called. And I think you're probably right on the money with, if not all, certainly most of your eclipse predictions tonight. And obviously, be able to watch that coming up from West Palm Beach, Florida, the Breakers Resort, in just a little bit. But Vince, keep on calling, and those fields are going to get bigger at Aqueduct. The money's too good for the horses not to be that running.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Vince.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. It's the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Sam Houston's Live Thoroughbred Meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023, with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. The meet is highlighted by the Houston Racing Festival on Saturday, January 28th, Texas Preview Day on February 18th, and Texas Champions Day, March 25th. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back on the racing career of La Prévoyante. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Briznet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Briznet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. And once again, anyone who calls tonight, give your name and address to our producer, Lee Della Pina. He will make sure you'll get a 2023 racing calendar, courtesy of our friends at Twin Spires and Briznet. A lot of big races coming up this weekend, James, and I know your best bet is over at Gulfstream Park. So we're going to start at Oaklawn Park, where they've got three stakes on their Saturday card, and three-year-olds really in the spotlight, if you will, over at Oaklawn Park. They've got the only points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby that goes this weekend. It's the $750,000 Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at a mile and a 16th. Nine of them going to post, and the horse who's going to be the big favorite in the race is the only one not eligible to earn those points, Arabian Knight, who was the talk of the town, aside from the Breeders' Cup runners on Breeders' Cup weekend at Keeneland.
That is for sure. That win by Arabian Knight on Breeders' Cup Saturday undercard was just fantastic. He ran real fast that day at 7 furlongs, Bobby. He earned a 104 Briznet speed rating, came home fast, got a huge late pace number. And the horse he beat determinedly came back and romped in his next race. He exits a win Saturday on the undercard over Tappet's Conquest and Allowance. He's headed back to stakes. And the third-place finisher, Expect More, I think has been real green or immature in both his starts for Pletcher and could really have, you know, plenty of upsides as well. So I thought that was a really strong field he beat. He just completely humbled him. And he's... You know, I think he's by far the most exciting three-year-old Baffert has. I mean, he's the most exciting three-year-old in the nation based on that just one maiden win. Granted, he has to go two turns. And I do think it's an interesting fact that this Corona Bolt's drawn to his inside with post two. Brad Cox has three horses in the race, and Corona Bolt really comes off a sharp wire-to-wire win in the 6 furlong Sugar Bowl at Fairgrounds. Looks like a talented colt. He's by Bolt D'Oro. So perhaps it could be a little bit of a hot pace is what I'm saying. Still, Arabian Knight, it's exciting to see him back.
He's even money on the morning line. And as I mentioned, he's trained by Bob Baffert, which means that he is not eligible for any of those Kentucky Derby qualifying points. Of course, at one point somewhere by February 28th, any owners that have horses with Baffert will be forced to move them to other barns going forward if they want to earn Kentucky Derby qualifying points. We'll see if Arabian Knight remains on that track after his run in the Southwest. So the boys are on display in the South. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to add something real quick about that. I learned of that as well about the 28th deadline. It was in the nominations form. David Grenick had an article for the DRF last weekend and read it. And in it, he caught up with Baffert. And Baffert said that he's not saying anything about the situation until after he has a hearing on February 2nd, I believe he said, this coming next Thursday. So that sounds like that's going to be a big hearing where he's going to challenge the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs suspension. So just wanted to throw that in there that he has a court hearing coming up. Bob Baffert does. And then after that, you know, I could get a little bit of more clarification, Bobby.
Yeah, he also, his suspension from NYRA stops this week. So he actually is eligible to run horses next weekend in the Withers or wherever else he wants to run at NYRA. And I think he was, it's not quoted, but he basically said, you know, he'll run horses in New York if they're good enough to run in the races in New York. And he kind of takes it week by week. But his New York suspension has gone away just as his California one did last year. The males are not the only three-year-olds in the spotlight on Saturday at Oaklawn Park. Three-year-old fillies going to go a mile and a 16th in the $200,000 Martha Washington. Field of six there. We're going to probably have a solid favorite with number three, Defining Purpose, who's won two of her last three starts. They're big wins as far as margin goes, but kind of opposite of last year, what we saw at Oaklawn, James. Last year, I don't think that the three-year-old males that ran in the big stakes at Oaklawn were really that good, like as good as they've been in years past at Oaklawn, whereas the fillies, and especially Secret Oath, were really, really good. This year, looks like we've got some really good colts in the Southwest. And these fillies, I'm not really sure if they're quite the caliber of Hoosier Filly and some of the other ones.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we saw some really talented or promising three-year-old fillies, Wonder Wheeled, Hoosier Filly, Julia Shining, even Faza, and just Defeek, who's running back this weekend. But at this point in time, sort of similar to the Silver Bullet Day at Fairgrounds last weekend, got a little bit of the, looks like the second tier of fillies running in these early season three-year-old stakes. And, you know, a horse like Defining Purpose can really, you know, step up. She was no factor in her first stakes effort after breaking her maiden, but really came back strong, like you mentioned, for McPeak. So we'll see if she can take another step forward.
The other of the three stakes on Saturday at Oaklawn is the $150,000 King Cotton, which starts basically their sprint series there at Oaklawn Park. And Gunite makes his 2023 debut. He was last seen running fourth behind Cody's Wish and Cyberknife in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he actually ran a pretty good race that day. He was only beaten some four lengths. He's certainly proven sprinting. It kind of looks to me like his best race easily makes him the one to beat. I'm wondering, for a horse that's already a Grade 1 winner, a horse that's already a Grade 2 winner, how cranked up he will be for this ungraded King Cotton on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a fair question. It's his first start at Oaklawn, and, you know, he's coming back to six furlongs. Now, granted, Asmussen had Jackie's Warrior for the Breeders' Cup Sprint, but, you know, Gunite was cross-centered to both races. He was coming off a win at seven furlongs, or back-to-back wins at seven furlongs, so they went the two-turn mile. But they're going to be aiming for the Breeders' Cup Sprint this year. And to me, now being four-year-old son of Gunrunner, he's eligible to keep moving forward as well. So it wouldn't be you're right. I mean, he could show some rust or perhaps need a race or come up just a little bit short of the distance. But I'm also, like, you know, I'm a little bit bullish on him, you know, being better at four than he was at three. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a really good race from him.
I wonder what our friend Charles in Mississippi is thinking handicapping in this race, because one of his favorite horses, and certainly the best Arkansas bred running out there right now, Garhole, is going to be facing open company in the King Cotton. And, you know, he's pretty dominant when he's facing the state breds. Facing a little bit tougher animal, I think, on Saturday, and you're going to get a much better price on Garhole than you usually do. He's 12 to 1 on the morning line. John Velasquez is going to pick up the mount, but obviously facing stronger competition than what he usually sees. All right, we're going to take another break and come back, and we're going to dive deeply into that big Gulfstream card on Saturday. They've got seven graded stakes highlighted by the Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup Invitational. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
There's plenty to bet on at Gulfstream Park this January with the return of the championship meet, featuring live thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday and the $3 million Pegasus World Cup on Saturday, January 28th. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club or cool off in a private suite or a restaurant 10 Palms. For stake schedules, reservations, and tickets, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Sam Houston's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. The meet is highlighted by the Houston Racing Festival on Saturday, January 28th, Texas Preview Day on February 18th, and Texas Champions Day, March 25th. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully for your hour, HRRN Nation. And James, I think I woke the bear, Charles in Mississippi, now on the line. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Thank you, Bobby. Hey, James.
Hey, Charles.
I don't want to start on a downer this week, but that lady jockey, the Scrivener lady that was paralyzed from the waist down, out in Arizona or New Mexico, maybe Wyoming, wherever she was racing at. I want to ask all the listeners to maybe, if they would please think about making a contribution to the permanently disabled jockey fund, and because they still have, they take care of a lot of disabled jockeys. Marlon St. Julian, is he still alive, Bobby?
I don't know, and it's a bad subject.
You remember Marlon St. Julian?
Yeah, it's a bad subject, and it's Jerry Scriver that you're talking about, who unfortunately was involved in a spill at Sunland Park a few weeks ago. But yeah, that's who you're talking about. It's never good, and these riders are very small compared to the horses that they're riding, and they're going very fast, and they're never expecting when the worst happens.
And, you know, they don't have guaranteed contracts, Bobby, and they don't have, and I would say 80% of them barely make a living wage, And so, you know, if you can contribute to the permanently disabled jockeys fund, and I don't know if you remember that song by Fleetwood Mac, "Over My Head." I think my horse Garho might be over his head in that race, but I think they're just trying to figure out a place, you know, where he fits, and you know, they'll let him run, baby. They just, you don't know, you can't win it unless you're in it, Bobby.
Yeah, that I think that's exactly what it is. They need to know whether they're looking at races down the line, like the Whitmore against Open Company, for big money and a graded stake, or they just go and take what, I don't want to say free money, but easier money in against the state breds.
I'll say, though, they could have caught a little bit of a softer field in the King Cotton in late January. I mean, they can't be too pleased to see a couple, at least, you know. I mean, maybe they knew Gunite was running, but it's going to be a tall challenge, like Charles said.
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but Charles, according to our producer, Lee Delapina, in 2021, Marlon St. Julien became an agent, putting an end to his time riding horses due to his long-term injuries from his 2018 incident. So the good news is he is still alive. He's doing well. He's just not riding anymore.
Well, thank goodness. He was always a favorite of mine, and I appreciate the information, Lee. I love this sport, and one thing about Vince in Buffalo, you don't have to worry about his opinion. I mean, he's going to have a firm opinion. And another
why
thing
should,
about
why shouldn't
Vince,
he though? Why shouldn't he? We put a lot of time and heart and soul, and sometimes a lot of money into this game. We're allowed to have opinions, and Vince definitely has them.
No doubt about that, but I haven't seen except that Arabian Night, the horse y'all were talking about earlier. I haven't seen another horse that really starts my tractor race, a 3-year-old. But that's not surprising this time of the year. But I really cannot wait till the Pegasus World Classic, because man, you could have 5 or 6, 7 horses could win that race. I mean, it's a lot tougher race than. You know, it's not like having Nick's Go in there. So, I mean, I kind of was looking at that horse that Saez was riding. Man, I can't remember him, but that's one I'm looking at. And I'll hang up and listen, guys. And remember, contribute to that jockey fund if you can. And I'll see y'all next week, guys, okay?
All right, Charles, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. Let's talk about the Pegasus World Cup. By the way, the horse that Charles is referring to is Get Her Number, who Luis Saez is going to ride. He rode him to a second-place finish in the Cigar Mile behind Mind Control last time out, kind of a head-bobbing finish where he was second best that day. I'll tell you this, James. This isn't the typical Pegasus where you have the gigantic billboard name horse in there. You know, it's not Arrogate versus California Chrome, and it's not Life is Good against Nick's Go, or just Nick's Go running in the race, or horses like that. But what you have is a very, very good betting race. You've got some really solid runners headed by Cyberknife. But you know what? Cyberknife, it's not him and everyone else. He'll probably be somewhere around a 2-to-1 favorite in the race. It's the final race of his career. He's already got a stud deal, a stallion deal in place. But it's not just him and everyone else. There are several ways you can go.
I agree. And this is a race that's, you know, like you said, it's had some big names, but it's also had a lot of, like, short price winners or horses that pay less than $10 to win. And this year it looks, you know, more as competitive as it's been in a while. Got a full field. You're going to have 12 entered in there. And, you know, as far as Cyberknife goes, he's not the most consistent performer. I'm not keen on that outside draw, and at a short price, I'll be trying to beat him.
Okay, so if it's not Cyberknife and he doesn't have the best of post positions, how do you see the race playing out? Not necessarily who's going to win, but, you know, what's the pace scenario, and who do you think gets the right trips?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see for sure. You have a bunch of horses in there that like to, you know, or several horses in there. I mean, obviously, defunded and art collector. I mean, there's a chance for a pretty solid pace in there, and could have a couple others. You know, you have this riding with Biden that chips in, and he could be hustling from the start. So I think you have a chance for a fairly contentious pace, a race that does set up well for stalkers or more, you know, dead closers. And I like Proxy's chances to get a great ground saving trip from the rail. I think that's a great draw in this field. He showed last time he could be up there pressing a lone speed type if he had to, or stay close to him, but he doesn't have to in this spot, and he's going to settle back and just use, you know, stalk and pounce tactics in my mind.
There are actually three Pegasus World Cup races as part of the 13 race card on Saturday at Gulfstream, races 11, 12, and 13. The highlight being that Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational. Race 11 is the Pegasus World Cup Filly and Mare Turf Invitational. It's a Grade 3 event with a $500,000 purse. And you've got a mare named Shantasara, who's the 9-5 favorite on the morning line for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. Boy, it certainly looks like if she runs her race, she's the one to beat. What the heck happened to her in that last race of the day on Breeders' Cup Saturday, though, last time out?
Yeah, I mean, she just didn't fire at all in that race. And, you know, she's a filly, a mare, Shantasara, that really ran a big second two starts back to Regal Glory, who, you know, who was terrific. I mean, a really, really classy turf mare for Chad Brown. And, yeah, that last race was a little bit of a clunker, but she's eligible to bounce back. It's interesting, the filly that beat her, Wakanaka, is in this race as well for Belmont. You know, you look at her, she won the Grade 2 Dan Smartly. She won that stake race at Keeneland. And so her only setback in her last three starts was against Modern Games and Males in the Woodbine Mile. So she's a mare that has some, you know, that looks like she could be pretty good as well this year. Pretty good race. Delica, a couple others add some quality to the field, or depth to the field.
Yeah, it should be an honest pace too. Delica or Dalica, Queen Goddess, a couple of fillies and mares who are usually right up there on or near the lead, and maybe setting up for somebody coming from off the pace. But Shantasara, if she runs her race, she's going to be tough. She just ran really poorly when we last saw her a few months ago. The other Pegasus race is the World Cup Turf Invitational, a Grade 1 race with $1 million purse. Goes as race 12 on the card. It's a race with a full field. The morning line favorite is number 10, Ivor, who's been a very good miler of late. He's now being asked to go a mile and an eighth. And I know this is a race that is your best bet of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you had to have a lot of respect for Ivor. I mean, he ran great against Modern Games in that Breeders' Cup Mile, and you know, is a classy horse for Paulo Lobo. But I'm going to take a shot in here with the horse that's inside, number 9, Decorated Invader. I don't know if that 15-1 price is going to be right, but I thought last time breaking from post 12. You know, coming back his first race since a race on a yielding slot, you know, like thick off turf that he hated. I thought he ran a heck of a race, Bobby. And I thought he broke sharply and wound up on the lead sort of by default. And he's sitting there like chasing the pace. And he really dug in and I thought ran terrific for second. I think he gets more of a stock and pace trip. I think City Man, who is being drawn outside him, has to show more speed. And I just look for Decorated Invader. He was a really classy horse back in like 2020. Something went wrong with him in 2021, and he only made two starts in the spring, and he didn't come back till last fall. So I see him as a horse that's on, you know, that I liked his races. Like, with the exception of the Artie Schiller on yielding turf, I think his last three races are all real positive, progressing performances, and he's got a chance to step up with a big race in the Pegasus World Cup turf.
He seems like kind of a fragile horse. There's races from 2020, 2021, 2022, all on his page. So, you know, he runs a few races, and then for some reason he ends to the sidelines. But when he's good, he's really good. And is he good enough to win the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational? James says maybe yes, and he's 15-1 on the morning line. It's James's best bet of the weekend. All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other stakes going on. Also, find out what kind of specials are going on with our friends over at BrisNet this weekend. It's also your final chance to call in and get that 2023 racing calendar absolutely free. Anyone who calls in will get that calendar sent out to them. The number to call us, 888-966-4776. It's the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Sam Houston's Live Thoroughbred Meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. The meet is highlighted by the Houston Racing Festival on Saturday, January 28th, Texas Preview Day on February 18th, and Texas Champions Day, March 25th. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get us, 888-966-4776. James, anything special going on with our friends at BrisNet this weekend?
Well, yeah, Bobby, we're going to have like a lot of Pegasus World Cup day reports. We also, you know, as we have all meet, have free premium pass performances for Oakland and other Oakland promotions available to our subscribers. And I want to mention as well, since it's early in the at Twin Spires, that Twin Spires has the Road to the Kentucky Road to the Derby prep race competition. It pays out to 100 places. Like I said, it started in late December, so it's early. You bet one horse a week, you know, you get to keep your winnings, and you're entered in the prize each week, and you get points for races. And like I said, $100,000 in prizes, VIP trips, like month, other like kind of awards. So check that out. It's always a fun competition.
You know, the Pegasus races are not the only big races on the Saturday card at Gulfstream Park. They actually have seven graded stakes in all. And wanted to pick your brain a little bit on a few of these other ones. Race 8 on the card is the Grade 2 inside information for the fillies and mares sprinting 7 furlongs. Might have one of the shorter prices on the afternoon with obligatory for Bill Mott and Jose Ortiz. This is a filly who I actually liked a lot in the Breeders' Cup filly in Mare Sprint. She just couldn't close that day and just didn't fire her best shot. But she's run well at Gulfstream in the past. Am I right in thinking that her good races are just clearly better than the others in this field?
I think so, and I think that Obligatory is a filly, or now a mare, that, if she's running at Churchill Downs or Gulfstream Park, where she's 2-for-2, like you referenced, you can have faith that she's going to deliver shot top showing. She hadn't run as well at other tracks, but I do think it's a good comeback spot for Obligatory.
She's 7-to-5 on the morning line. What do you think is a fair price on her?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, I need to, you know, I took a quick look at this race and I just didn't think, you know, she's got a couple rivals in there to her inside. But, I mean, it's going to be short, whatever fair price would be, I think.
Well, a race where there won't be a horse who's hovering around even money or maybe even below that is the race number 9, the Grade 3 W.L. McKnight Stakes, a race that forever was run at Calder Racecourse and has carried on the tradition over at Gulfstream. These are older horses going a mile and a half on the turf. And the horse that just doesn't ever want to go away, the 9-year-old Channel Maker, shows up. He ran in the Breeders' Cup last time out and pressed the pace before getting tired down the lane against Rebel's Romance and Stone Age and horses like that. Now begins his 9-year-old campaign. He's actually never hit the board in 5 career starts on the turf at Gulfstream Park, but he's 3-to-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, terrible sign for him. As a, you know, you have a horse, Temple, he's run there 15 times and has 5 wins and 5 seconds at Gulfstream. So, yeah, I'm against Channel Maker. I got to take a better look at that field because that looks – I thought both the Midnight and the other turf race came up just great. I mean, they got good field sizes and competitive betting races, I thought.
Yeah, and Channel Maker is a horse that forever has been a speed type of runner. I think a lot of people thought he was kind of a front or nothing type for a while. I don't think he is that anymore. He's able to settle down. He's not going to come from the back of the pack or anything, but he's a horse that doesn't have to have the lead to still run well. And that's probably good if you're backing him because Aban is in the race, and he looks like a horse that really wants to be forwardly placed, and I would expect Luis Saez to send him out there. I wonder if there's a scenario where Aban is able to get the lead if Channel Maker doesn't push him, if Aban just keeps going. Unlike Channel Maker, he's actually won a few races at Gulfstream.
Yeah, and I think that was the scenario, you know. I mean, I think that's, you know, last year that he sat second in the early going because I think they sort of went, you know, after him a little bit. He wasn't faced, you know, he was the favorite in last year's edition of Bond. And so if that's the case, he doesn't have to be on the lead. But you're right, he has quality speed. And being drawn inside Channel Maker just makes sense for Lee Sias to send him.
Another really intriguing race is race number 10. It's the Grade 3 Fred Hooper, another race that forever was run over at Calder. This is a flat mile on the main track, which means it's a one-turn mile at Gulfstream Park. Have a very big field going to post. In fact, I think 13 of them are going to post. And the horse drowned down on the rail, which is not necessarily the best spot to be in a big field going a one-turn mile, is Miles D. He certainly is a horse who, if he fires his good shot, is, if not the one to beat, one of the ones to beat. But we haven't seen him in almost a year. What do you do with Miles D in this spot?
Well, I mean, you know, this race looks like a springboard towards other races, and it is a one-turn mile. And you're right, he's drawn inside. But one thing about this Hooper field, Bobby, it has a lot of pace in it looks like, and it looks like he's going to get a good setup. So I certainly respect his chances, and you know, if I'm gonna, you know, he's a horse that's got to be in consideration at the very least for like multi race bets. I'll tell you a horse that I'm intrigued in there. And even if he doesn't win, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier with Decorated Invader. There's some opportunities in these big fields. Sometimes if you like a long shot, get him second or third and cash a ticket that way. I thought the Reds, like I said, he might not be good enough to win, but I thought that was a tough field at Churchill Downs last time. Happy American was in there and ran third and beat him by a head. And he's really run well this year. And Run Classic was in there. And this is a horse that's going to get some pace. I'm looking at some closers in there to run perhaps and hit the board. So I wanted to mention him at double-digit odds. But I won't be surprised to see Miles Deagle come back a winner in this spot and go on to bigger and better things. I hope he stays healthy this year.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do in this spot, and I don't really want to give too much away from what I'm going to do on the weekend stakes preview tomorrow night, but I was kind of looking at Endorsed for the same reason, thinking that he could close in a race with a lot of pace. Something tells me, I don't know if Mike Maker happens to have horses in that barn that was quarantined over at Gulfstream, and if so, there's going to be some scratches. There were a lot of scratches earlier today at Gulfstream, and I think there are some horses that are supposed to run in the big stakes Saturday at Sam Houston that are not coming over because of that same situation. So I don't know if Endorsed is affected by that. If he's not, I think he's another one that could get the right trip, and even though he hasn't been facing quite this competition, he's run against really good competition at times in the past. I mean, he was good enough to run fourth behind Life is Good and Nick's Go in last year's Pegasus. So even though he's been running in allowance races late, I think he might get the right trip if he actually gets to run in this race. All right, we just have a few minutes left, James, and I know it's shifting gears a little bit, but we talked about the Southwest and some of the three-year-olds. And Brad Cox, by the way, has 3 3-year-olds in this race. It's unbelievable how many good 3-year-olds Brad Cox has right now, and it was put in print in a few different places the other day. You know, the places, you know, I'm going to send these three here and I'm going to send these two there. And of the Brad Cox 3-year-olds that you've seen so far, who are the, you know, two or three that kind of stand out to you as of right now, if you're only looking at Brad Cox's 3-year-olds, the ones that you'd be looking at when it comes first Saturday in May?
I think the two that stand out are Victory Formation and Instant Coffee. Instant Coffee and Victory Formation. And they've coming off Victory Formation, won the Smarty Jones. He's pointing for, I believe, the Rebel next out. And, you know, obviously Instant Coffee is going to go Louisiana Derby. I think those are your A horses there. And when it comes to the B slot, I think that a couple of these in the Southwest, I mean, I know that just from what I've seen and read from him, that he's bullish on the Corona Bolt. Did I get his name wrong? I always call him Corona Bolt or Corona Dash, but Corona Bolt. And I think Jace's rode off of that win in the Gunrunner. I think you can draw a line through the Street Sense. He lost it in the post raid. I think he's looking to move up for him. And I think the other one he has that I would put on that B list is Verifying, who came back with that real sharp allowance win a couple weekends ago and is headed towards a stake. So that's how I would size up his hierarchy right now. But it's all eligible to change. You know, it can be a pretty fluid situation.
It's amazing the problem that he has right now. I mean, we talk about Bob Baffert having this kind of problem, it seems like, year after year. And by the way, Bob Baffert's got 4 of the 5 runners in Sunday's San Vicente out at Santa Anita, and he had 3 of the 5 runners in the Sham. But, you know, they have a smaller horse population in Southern California than they do at Oaklawn or at Fairgrounds or at Gulfstream, places like that. And Brad Cox, I mean, it's amazing not to see him with at least 2 big-name 3-year-olds in any of these 3-year-old stakes coming up. You know, he's where this year with 3-year-olds, where it seems like Chad Brown is with turf fillies and mares every year in the summertime.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I think we've seen some good-looking maiden winners as well. That he had that one on Santa Anita opening day, Faustin, that Curl and Colt. And you know, I mean, he's going to be a major player. I think it's exciting that he's sending Arabian Knight to Oakland, even though, you know, that the whole Derby situation being what it is, because Cox is going to be running his big horses there. He won't be shipping his big horses to Santa Anita. So he's going to be running against some good. Those races just size up to be some of the best preps this year. It's great.
Well, I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our callers for taking part in tonight's BrisNet.com call-in show. Reminder, tomorrow, Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Going to try to cover live racing from Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Santa Anita. Also going to have a couple of great guests. Nick Tamaro, the race caller from Sam Houston Race Park, going to talk to us about their big Saturday card coming up. Pete Aiello, the announcer at Gulfstream Park, going to talk about the Pegasus and their card as well. And then, of course, the weekend stakes preview. Dave Friedman joins me, as he always does, 6 p.m. on Friday nights. We're going to look at 14 races tomorrow night. For our producer, Leap Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this evening. Have a great night, everybody.